Good afternoon, everyone.
So why are we here? You ever heard that before? Why are we here? You know, there's probably some other things that we could be doing. I can think of a few than sitting here today in church on Saturday. Probably if you're here, almost for sure, you're here because God is calling you. That's why you're here. God is calling you. But have you been chosen for salvation? You're here. God is calling you. Maybe you've had this question. Do you know Jesus? Yeah. We used to think we were cute in saying, when someone would ask that, we'd say, have you been saved? And we'd like to say, saved from what? You know, they'd stumble a little bit. I wouldn't do that now. I was kind of showing off, you know, how much I knew. I had no idea how little I knew at that time. You know, do you know Jesus? Have you been saved? You know, people come up with their own formula to receive salvation. They've got their formula. This is what you do. I've never seen the movie, but it was mentioned, I think, a week or so ago on Beyond Today, the movie The Apostle. I haven't seen it. But anyway, Duval is the apostle. And he comes on this, comes upon a car wreck, and the person's almost dead. And he said, will you accept Jesus? Will you let him into your heart? And like you will be saved. Well, you know, people make decisions based on their own formula, their own idea. So have you been saved? I saw something also there on one of our blogs. Says a man once noted that there were two important things that he learned in life. The first is there is a God. And the second was that he was not him. In other words, the man, he finally figured out, you know, I'm not God. I'm not the one that determines and makes these decisions about salvation and what to do. Well, let's look at a brief summary of the road to salvation. That's my title, The Road to Salvation. Briefly, The Road to Salvation, I could just say repentance, which then that's forgiveness. You've got to repent and you have to be forgiven. That's a start. Of course, you had to be called before that, before you would ever reach that. I think last week we heard again about God is working with people through His Spirit, but they may not have God's Spirit. And some of you here, God, if you're here, God is working with you through His Spirit. Now, you may not be begotten, but God is working with you. And how you respond to that call is going to determine if you're chosen for salvation. So repentance and forgiveness, that's the start. Overcoming, then a life of overcoming. You're not saved. Well, you've accepted Christ, you've repented, you've been baptized. Maybe hands have been laid on you, you received God's Spirit. And so, then you're saved, as some would say. And you definitely, in God is positive that you will, through His intervention, that you will be saved. So, repentance, overcoming, and then being changed to Spirit. When you're changed to Spirit, I'd say you are saved. So that's my sermon. I guess we can have the closing song and prayer and go do what everybody wants to do and go eat. Well, we'll go on. We'll talk about repentance first. You may know the truth, but that's not enough. You may understand the truth. When we say the truth, we mean the truth about God, about His calling, and that it's not what the world pictures to us. But just knowing that truth, that is a good start, but that's what it is. It's a start, knowing the truth and coming to the knowledge of it. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. And we see that there are those that have known or do know the truth. Romans chapter 1 in verse 18. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It says they might suppress, or would mean to, they hold down. They have hold of, they keep, they retain, they seize on it, and they withhold it. Just having the truth is not salvation. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. Yes, it says God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, as we look around, we learn more and more about the earth, what we call natural, the natural things of earth, the more amazing it becomes. I saw an article, and I can't remember now the title, but it was like, now they're talking about going to Mars, maybe settlements there. Will this be a spiritual revival? Because it seems several astronauts, after they have returned, have chosen to believe in God. Now, whether they, you know, I'm sure they don't know the complete truth, but they realize, hey, there is a God. This evolution is just doesn't fit. And there's so many things. I saw PBS has had, I forget what it was called, but showing that the Grand Canyon and places in even in Britain, Greenland, that this was done suddenly. They're backing off on this millions of years to cut the Grand Canyon. The scientists said this was done in days or months, no longer. The scientific evidence is there. But they're still, they believe in evolution. So they hold the truth, for since the creation world, his visible attributes there in verse 20 are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And professing, in verse 22, to be wise, they became fools. So God has shown it to them, invisible things clearly shown, but they didn't glorify God. Professing themselves to be wise, what they do, they became fools. And it is really foolish what the very wise teach and believe. But see, our selfish fleshly desires often get us into trouble because the flesh is going to justify itself. Strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, factions, envy. But we know, as Galatians 5 says, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we cannot be saved if we continue in this road that we're traveling. It's not the road to salvation. It's a different road. Our natural deviousness, self-deception, and is a major weakness of the fleshly mind. So we all have it, and we're born with it. And that's some of the things that repentance is required. You know, deceivers, and the world's full of deceivers. Some, I think, are totally innocent. Some really know better. Like to demonstrate how smart they are. Or they have special knowledge, or special understanding. Using themselves as an example of knowledge. So that's kind of how we know how to understand some of the scriptures, such as, I will turn to 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Could also go to 2 Peter, but I'll go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. People like to hear what they believe. You know, they like to come up with their idea, and then they spend their time trying to prove that that's right. So they says they'll come up, endure sound doctrines, but according, let's see, where was I? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. It's kind of like you believe something, so you find a teacher that'll go along with you. Hey, I like that teacher. I like that minister. You know, you see the ministers on TV and people say, well, I really like him. Or I don't care much for that one. So there's something there that really goes along with what they want. In verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So you see, these people have a lot of knowledge. Very famous evangelist has said that, well, really, any religion, if people have the right attitude and the right mind, will be saved. Well, of course, that's not true. But repentance and forgiveness is what we know. We know in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? It's death. That's what you earn. If you earn a wage, you get a paycheck, that's the best we can hope for, is death. I don't know if that would come like a pink slip or how it would come, but that's not the paycheck most of us want to see. But we know that there's no other name under heaven that we can be forgiven except Jesus Christ. There's no other name. That'd be in Acts 4:12. I don't need to turn there. And by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. We know that. So, repentance. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. We look at this every year, and it's good. That's what we need. The people I work for, we do training. And you know those men come in there? They've just gone through it last year. And you go through it again. Companies have learned or understand that it's rehearsed, just like we do the holy days. Say, well, we went to the feast last year. What are we going to learn by going again? I think I'll just stay home and watch it on TV or something, or study my Bible. But companies in the world, they understand these guys need to sit in a classroom. And, oh, yeah, they've heard that before. They've heard it before. Always say, how many of you guys have never been here before? There might be one or two. I say, well, whether you've been here or not, we're going through this like you've never been here. In other words, I'm just kind of letting them know, look, you're going to pay attention and sit through this. So, but God is very merciful, and what he requires every year, we actually enjoy. And, you know, we look forward to. And so, anyway, back to Acts 2. I don't know how I got off on that, but somehow I did. Acts 2, verse 36, on repentance. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, he's talking to Jews that knew God's law, that understood the Bible the best of their ability. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. You know, it was like pricked. It was painful because God opened their minds to see they needed to repent. They had the truth put before them. Now, they could choose to reject it. And if they did, then that would kind of stop the process there. But they were pricked. It means like to pierce through and to sting. You know, when you like probably David, when the truth was brought to him about his sin with Bathsheba, that had to hurt. Because he seemed like he was oblivious to it. How could he be? And yet, you know, that had to have a sting. And what was his response? He repented. And he turned around. Repent. Remission. Forgiveness. That's a great start on the road to salvation. Repent would be to think differently. A change of heart. It's a shift in our thinking. It's to reconsider. It's like you turn around. My brother, they live in Alabama, and years ago they were coming to Oklahoma. Him and his wife, they'd take turns driving. He crossed the Mississippi River, and he heard that, you know, there was no interstates then. Yes, there was a time when there wasn't interstates, and I can remember it. So you can do the math on that on my age. So he heard this clank, 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 and then he pulled in station, filled up with gas. He called in the back seat, and his wife took off driving. After a while, he woke up and he heard that clank, 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 clank. What? He raised up. They were back where they had started when he went to sleep. Somehow she got on the wrong road. And it didn't lead to where they were going. And people can get on the wrong road. And it's not the road to salvation. And so they pulled over and he stopped. Who's he out of gas? He filled up the same station. So he was doing all the good. They're coming to Oklahoma. Maybe they'll get there next month. I don't know if that's a lesson about letting women drive. Or no, it's not. No. So see, if we get on the, we're on the road to salvation, but we can get off of the road. And then we continue to repent. It's not a one time, not a one deal. I've repented, I'm good. No, you know, as God, he brings us to repentance. And he opens our minds to what we need to repent of. But you know, thankfully, he doesn't give us the whole load at once. He gives us what we need right then to repent. If he give us the whole load of what we need to repent of, we'd be flat as that bunny on I-35 that I saw. I mean, we'd be not flat. We would be gone. We would be flat fauna on the highway. We couldn't do it. But God knows how to handle this. And of course, if we refuse to repent of what he's shown us, then that stalls the process. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 13. Except you repent. Luke chapter 13. Except you repent. In verse 3, I tell you, no, they was asking apparently about the Galileans who had been crushed, and if that was because they were bigger sinners than the rest of us. He says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We can get by a certain amount of time. God's very long-suffering and patient. But we're just like, you know, my brother going the wrong way. We're just burning gas. We're just wasting time on our way to salvation. In verse 5, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So it's not something to be taken lightly. So repentance is part of the road to salvation. But now we begin another step. We've repented. Basically, repentance is begin to realize what you really are. Not necessarily because you stole some cookies out of a cookie jar, or you picked up a cigar in a drugstore and tried to get away with it. No, it's beginning to see what you really are inside. When I was a boy, me and my friend, his little brother, we decided we need to steal some cigarettes. You know, they didn't have, even then we didn't have cigarette machines yet. So this goes way back. So we didn't get the chance, so we just left, and the little brother was there, and here the clerk followed us. The little brother picked up some cigars. He got caught. Well, he was repenting because his parents, you know, they didn't believe in stealing, and he got caught, and he had to suffer the consequences there. So a life of overcoming, it's not just that we think about, well, I did this and I'm sorry for it. No, it's realizing what we are. So then that what we are involves a life of overcoming. That what we are is what we're involved with. So if we go on that road, what does God say? Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, or 21, I mean, Revelation 21, we'll inherit all things. I will go ahead and read this. verse 6, Revelation 21. And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." You know, if you're thirsty, what do? You go get some water to drink. If you ignore that, if you ignore that thirst, you're going to pay a big price eventually. So to him who thirsts, to him who wants some water, who doesn't ignore it. And verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." He who overcomes. He says, we'll inherit all things. That's a lot. That's more than we can even probably begin to imagine. And then he said, "I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You notice he said son. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Life of overcoming. Life of overcoming. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. "But you are those who have continued with me." Notice he said, "You that have continued with me." It's a continuing with me. It's not, well, I'm saved. It's all good now. And I'll carry on. I'll try to be just a decent person. No, he said, have continued with me in my trials. Yes, in my trials. "And I bestow upon you the kingdom, just as my Father's bestowed one upon me." Continued with me. And that takes God's Spirit for this overcoming. You know, Peter, before Christ's death, said, "Oh, I'll die for you. I'm with you all the way." And then what happened? Well, it started looking really scary. And he denied Christ 3 times. And he wept for it. God's Spirit was with Peter, but he was yet, God's Spirit wasn't in him in the sense of the power. Like after Acts 2, he received power and he preached boldly to the people that before he was cowering under. See, that's like Christ in you is the hope of glory. That Spirit in you is that hope. If we've got to have that hope and renew it and continue in it, he said, if you continue with me. In Revelation chapter 2, he said, according to your works. Yeah, there's more to it than knowing God, confessing Christ, and letting Christ come into your heart. And everyone here, God's Spirit is here guiding you, baptized or not. And how you respond to that calling is going to determine if you are chosen for salvation. According to your works, those who keep, there in Revelation 2 and verse 26, he says, keeps my works. Maybe I should turn there. Revelation chapter 2. Yes, Revelation chapter 2. Yes, it's much more than just accepting Christ in just word and maybe in a proper attitude. Yeah, you're emotional at the time. Revelation 2, verse 26. "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Now, people, that's a pretty big promise. Power over the nations? You think God's just going to give that to someone who hasn't continued with Christ, has not continued in overcoming what he is? Remember, that's what we really are repenting of. What's inside what we are keeps my works. That's a big promise. He keeps my works. I will give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed in pieces like the potter's vessel. So that's setting right there with Jesus Christ. And again, Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. This isn't a small little calling, you know, for a little promotion. I'm going to make you foreman, you know, as soon as you prove yourself. No, this is some major commitments. He who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. That's Revelation 3:21. To sit with me in my throne. Well, how, you say, how could I ever be able to rule with Christ? I couldn't ever do that. How could I ever? I remember I used to think, ooh, I don't know if I meet Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to say. How can I communicate with God? And, you know, when I had knowledge, but I had never had not came to church, didn't even know there was church, but I had read where God walked there and to Abraham, and came up to his door, and I thought, man, I was kind of scared. What if he walks up? What am I going to say? You know, I don't have a fatted calf to kill. What am I going to do? Well, as we'll see, we'll be changed to spirit. What does that mean? Then we'll be able to rule and overcome and truly be able to do what God says. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. How can we be able to rule with Christ? 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 2. I'll go to start in verse 1 of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Children of God. If you're a child, you're the same kind. You know, God said that the kind would produce after kind. Someone was asking me, well, what about those giants there, the angels cohabited with the women, and then they had giants, and Christ said that angels could not marry or were sexless in that sense. No. After the kind, we were created after, in appearance, after the God kind. And we're going to be born in salvation after the God kind. That's how we'll be able to rule nations. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. We're children because we've been begotten. If a lady's pregnant, see, that's a child. And it's after the same kind that she and the father are. It's not some alien. No, it's the same kind. So Beloved, now we are children. That's how we're children now. Not that we're saved now in the sense of eternal salvation. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Well, if we're like him, then that's going to change a lot of things. What will the saints be like? We might look at some of that. A little bit of history here. Let's look at Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Yes, it's real, or it has been for me through the years. It's amazing as time goes on how we realize how little we really understood that God began to open our mind a little bit at a time, just as he granted us repentance, but we don't really comprehend what a great calling this is. To me, I think if someone really comprehends that, how can they turn away? It's a little hard to understand, but we can understand how they can do it. There's a road, like turning off on the wrong road. But I'm going to take a shortcut. And I think we like the Donner Party and the trail to California. The shortcut was a disaster. And Christ said, that there's one way. There's a narrow way and there's a gate. And some try to crawl over the fence some other way. I'll take a shortcut into God's kingdom. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 8. In verse 5, I believe. Let's go back to verse 4. Well, verse 3, I'll keep backing up to verse 1 eventually. We'll settle down here with 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, stars in which you have ordained, these astronauts have gone up, and I think they see things that we have not seen. And they consider how can this be an accident? The order, the beauty, the coordination of the universe. Verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than what? Says there are angels. But probably in your margin, you'll see Elohim, a little lower than God, not an angel, Elohim. What? And you say, well, why does it say angels then? I don't know. It seems the Jews had a problem when they translated this from Hebrew to Greek of saying God. You know how upset they were when Jesus claimed to be God. That was blasphemy. They couldn't stand that. Most of the Jews, from what I've been able to see outside Palestine, spoke Greek. And of course, those that may be there in the Middle East, Hebrew or Aramaic. So the Jews outside Palestine spoke Greek. And the Old Testament was translated into Greek, the Septuagint, and they used angel. So when it appears in the New Testament, in Hebrews, it says angel because it's translated from the Greek, but it's Elohim. The scholarly symbol for the Septuagint is what, LXX? Is that the Roman numeral? For 70. For 70. Apparently what I have seen It took 70 or 72 scribes to translate the book of the law. What would that be, the first three books? 72 scribes, and it took them 70 days to translate that. And this, and also there's 70 men in the Sanhedrin, the high court or the Supreme Court of ancient Israel. And 70 souls went out of into Egypt. And you find other places, 70 elders were assembled. And in Exodus 24, I might turn there. I didn't want to turn to all those, but this would kind of sum it up. Exodus 24, in verse 9, then Moses went up also, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire. So, 70, raise the prayer. So the Septuagint is called, it just means 70. So in Hebrews 2, we could turn there now. We begin to see that man is just a little lower than God. Not angels, but God. So being changed to spirit. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 6. But when he again brings the firstborn to the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. I'm in verse 1. Chapter 2. In verse 6. But one testifies of a certain place, saying, what is man? See, back to Psalms 8. You are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. But in the original, that was a little lower than God. And you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Well, here on the earth, all things are under man's feet. The animals, Even the countryside, the farms, God's told man to dress and keep it. He didn't tell him just let it grow up into brush and briars. Maybe not, there wouldn't be briars maybe, but it just gets thick. And, even when we were in, where was it we were going? But we were in the north, in around Rapid City. And they found that where the trees are real thick, that's where this beetle is killing the pine trees. Where they're thinner, the beetle's not doing it. It was interesting to see pictures taken when Custer and his group went through there. And there was a photographer went and pictures of the landscape. The trees weren't that thick as they are now. And now this beetle is killing it. So God expects man, he's given man dominion over all things, and he expects him to take care of it, to dress and keep it. He says, I put all things in subjection under his feet, verse 8. And in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. See, there's God's plan, but not yet. See, we've gone repentance. We're in a process of overcoming. And before all things are put under him, something else is going to happen. Verse 9, again, another but. we see Jesus, who was made a little lower, there's that angel again, should be translated from the Proverbs 8, Hebrew God. The words 433 in the Strong's. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one. Not yet all things, but we see Jesus. And in verse 10, what's it say? For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. See, he made all things, everything made for him, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. Yeah, perfect through suffering. It's not just God just hands it over. Okay, you've confessed Jesus, so you get the kingdom. Jesus, even Jesus, suffered, and he knows what it's like to be a human. Jesus walked the earth. There was only one God in heaven, the Father. The Word was walking as a flesh human being. So we see perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I mean, we ought to really comprehend, what does it mean to be called the brother of Jesus Christ? God, who became flesh and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. And he says, we're to be, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And we think, oh, how could I ever speak to Jesus? How could I ever be in that realm? Because he has granted that to us. And we're in a time of overcoming. We're in that time right now. If we're alive here, we have God's Spirit, we're in that time. If God's working with us, calling us, we're in that time. Because we have to make decisions. When God opens our mind, are we going to go ahead and take that next step? Or are we going to just kind of stall out here? You remember when they were called to the supper? Well, I've got a yoke of oxen. I need to, you know, it's plowing time. I've got to get this done now where I can prove these. You know, maybe next winter. If you'd had the supper next winter, I'd be there. Or I've married a wife. You know I can't come. I've got her. You know how she'd be. Well, hopefully she'd encourage you. But didn't seem that way. No, the other things were more important. Do you think these people actually grasped what God was offering? No. It says there, let's look at Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's just, brethren, we need to, we go about, we're in this world. You know, Jesus said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. And we can go along and just, we can wear out. We can just wear down if we're not constantly fed or feeding on God's word spiritually. So we have to be led by God's Spirit. Let's look here in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's tremendous. The sons of God. Can we really comprehend that, being the sons of God? I mean, sons of a being that created the vast universe. These astronauts go up there and they're just, wow. This is just more than I thought. That was my impression. It named several of them. It says they have turned to Christianity. Well, they've turned as far as they know, as far as God has led them to understand. But they realized that this just didn't happen. This is far more than that. So in verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's a tremendous statement. We suffer with him, and we do have to suffer at times. Sometimes we have to lose our job. Sometimes we may even lose our wife or our husband. It's happened. Sometimes our family may reject us many times. Now, we've been through that. But he said, if you suffer with me, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. As I forget who says, grace is free, but it's not free. Or how is that said? In other words, we can't earn it, but it's not really, you know, it's expensive. There's a price to pay. I can't say that, however it was. Here, and I worked on that for over 30 minutes memorizing it. So, but anyway, that is tremendous there, that we may be glorified with him. See, we see that in verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice the firstborn among many brethren. Hey, we're all lining up there. Some have already died. Some of us have years to go in overcoming. Some have a short time to go in overcoming. But the firstborn among many brethren. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. I mean, that's tremendous. This physical body going to be transformed into his glorious body. That is becoming spirit. We have God's spirit. God is spirit. And he's saying that we will be spirit. Transform our lowly body into spirit. So, brethren, it's a tremendous, it's a so great a salvation. Where is it in second? Can't remember just now. Where anyone that would deny so great a salvation, you know, that's unbelievable. It's if we really comprehend it, how could we deny it? It's the most final and most dramatic of our transformation will occur at the resurrection. Yeah, we're being transformed daily. Repentance, overcoming through the power of God. And so what are we going to look like? Let's look at Daniel chapter 12 real quickly here, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust, yeah, many are slept in the dust, will awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. You know, if you choose that, I don't have time right now, Lord. Or I think I'll take mine now. You know, that's Satan's way is, look, you can have it now. That's what he told Jesus. Bow down, worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms now. You know, we were talking earlier, my grandson said, well, Papa, I just keep Christmas just for the gifts. Which I don't believe in Christmas, but I keep it for the gifts. Well, that's just Satan's way. Look, you do it now. And look, here's the gifts right now. Not later. And he said, well, I go trick-or-treating just for the candy. I don't believe in that. But then, you know, the candy's there. Okay. I hope we don't do like Esau. And, well, we got the birthright, God's kingdom. But I'm hungry right now. What good's it going to do me if I starve to death? You know, traded his birthright for that soup. Daniel 12, 2 and 3, where was it? Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Tremendous. Yeah. The payoff's not, there is payoff here in the flesh now. I mean, God is, blesses us a lot. But it's nothing compared to the payoff. And here's what I was speaking of earlier. It's Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 3. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house is more honored than the house. Forever house is built. I don't think I'm at the right. I'm in chapter 3. So I need to go to Hebrews 2 in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's kind of like the specific purpose statement of this book. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And then this book talks about that. If we neglect so great a salvation, if God's calling you and working with you, and he begins to show you repentance, and you just ignore that, how are you going to be chosen for salvation? You know, according as God has opened your mind. Yes. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So we see that there is a great purpose. And if it's not worth more than this temporary promotion at your job or temporary whatever it really is important here physically, if it contradicts God's will and God's commandments, if we're willing to make that trade, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So, brethren, the road to salvation, forgiveness, you know, we need to be thinking about and responding to that we talked about it earlier in the Bible study, of not quenching that spirit when it begins to convict us, whether you're already begotten by God or if he's just leading you. Are you going to quench that spirit when it begins to show you that there's repentance needed? And are you going to continue to go that route, that road to salvation? Or is some obstacle going to get you off track? And hopefully when David got off track, and in God's mercy, he was able to repent, but he paid a big price in this life. You follow his life from there, and there was some tragedy because of that sin. So we don't get off free. God's merciful. We may not get the full impact, but the wages of sin, it comes. Payday comes for the wages of sin. And then think about that, being changed to spirit, being able to be as God, being able as Christ to actually be able to sit with Christ on his throne. So, brethren, I just say, stay on the right road, the road to salvation.